hear that?
No.
This is madness.
No.
With 900 years old, you reach for the good you are not.
Nerf herder.
I am a Jedi.
Too short for a stormtrooper.
We are what they grow beyond.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Ryan and Sam, I am Mike. Sadly, we are out without Chris, but he will make his presence known, not by an impression from Sam. Chris has given us a dispatch, so look forward to that. On this edition of the podcast, we're going to be talking about principal photography of Episode 9 has wrapped. We have an image, a statement from J.J. Abrams. The final film in the Skywalker saga is wrapped and all in the can. We will look forward to that coming out, but we're going to talk about what this all means with that final image of our three main, let's say, resistance positive stars. We don't know where Kylo ends up, but he wasn't in that image, so we'll have to talk a little bit more about that as we go. Obi-Wan, could this be moving from a movie, a film, as a side story to a series? We'll talk about that, as well as ABC premiering The Force Awakens this past weekend on linear network television. Does anybody still watch that? Someone did on this podcast. Ryan and Sam, excited to be back. There's still news. There's new things happening all the time. This is the year where we have so much going on in the Star Wars galaxy. It is a great time to be talking about Star Wars on this podcast.
Mike, I want to say
a big week.
I want to say great intro, and I think to all our listeners, man, Mike's enthusiasm. It's what we're all feeling, right? We've been clutching at straws for so long for just any kind of news on the Star Wars front. So it's really, really exciting to not just know that they've wrapped and to actually see a photo too. I mean, I think the Obi-Wan series is exciting. I'm excited to talk about all this, but especially just that photo, man. It's like it's real. It's real.
It's been slow news. This week had a lot of news. Mike just got back from his jazzercise class, and we're ready to go.
Hey, that's what gets me up and ready to go on this podcast. I got to do it. Well, you know,
is that a copyrighted term, jazzercise?
Do you mean his jizzercise class?
Oh, no.
It's perfect, and it's staying in.
I really thought that would have been on last week's Wild Boys podcast, but yet it made it into this one. You were quite kind last week, Sam. I thought the impressions were going to be a little harsher.
No, look, you guys. You know, I think what I've learned from this is that, to all the podcasters and radio personalities who regularly do voices and or impressions. I mean, I'm giving you a big tip of the cat from the Droids Pod because the instant anyone says a name and expects or hopes that I'm gonna perform, I instantly seize up with anxiety. So
you listening out there? That's a tip of the cat from Sam. You listening, Rich Little? You listening, Frank Caliendo?
Two of my heroes to this
Kevin
day.
Kevin Pollak.
Oh,
Jay Moore, all the great impressionists.
All the great impressionist painters. Monet, Monet.
And Kevin Pollock. Is that a Pollock?
And Jackson Pollock. And Jackson Pollock. I think it's a Pollock.
Mike, save us.
Well, you know, we got Doc on Dar last week. I got to say, I appreciated. That's an impression you can do every week for us, Sam, because no one knows what Doc on Dar actually sounds like, so you can get away with that.
This is Doc from Doc on Dar.
Dar!
I guess technically, since it's just Doc from Back to the Future, you can't get away with that.
Mike, I think you misheard me. I said dig us out of this hole.
Sorry. Well, for those of you who have not gone down this rabbit hole with us, or if you are still here, follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out. Rate us on iTunes. It's Twitter Droids Pod, Instagram Droids Pod, Facebook The Droids Podcast. Sam, that's the one for you to remember for next time. And, of course, you can find us on iTunes, where we would love for you to give us a review, rate us on iTunes, give us a ranking, and send us an email, droidspod@gmail.com. Record something in the voice memos of your iPhone. Send it in. We'll put it on the podcast. We have no standard. You will get on this show if you send us an audio recording.
All right. Well, it'll be an interesting week to check the email.
Let's get into the actual
news. I'm a regular on the show. Anything could happen.
Some would say you carry this show, Ryan. Others,
oh, that's nice. Others would say differently.
Principal photography has completed on episode 9. That doesn't mean we're not going to get Rey back donning, well, I say Daisy Ridley, donning the apparel of Rey in another shot, or Finn, as they may have to do some reshoots here in the next few months. But the film has wrapped. J.J. Abrams, he put out that photo where we saw Daisy Ridley as well as John Boyega and Oscar Isaac all embracing on what looked like another desert planet. Are we back on Jakku? Would we possibly have made our way to Tatooine? There's a lot to unpack from this one photo that J.J. Abrams shared, thanking his crew, saying how much he couldn't believe that they've gotten to this point, that they've wrapped the film, and thanking everyone who's been a part of the production. I got a little emotional because it made me think, you know, there's certainly some closure here, even though we don't know what the story is. We know that it has been finalized, and with the exception of the reshoots, this is in the books. This is whatever we are going to experience with episode 9 has been shot, and it's all now just a waiting game.
Barring any kind of huge data loss, you know, a dropped hard drive or something, the movie seems to be...
No redundancies, you know, by
they
Disney.
Definitely, they definitely have something. And, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of speculation was made about the desert planet. It's either Jakku or Tatooine. It'd be very weird if there was a third desert planet introduced. But, you know, I mean, there was a third Death Star introduced, so you never know. But, you know, to me, thinking about that, it's kind of a win-win. There's a beauty in it being Jakku because, you know, there's a nice bookend to this trilogy.
Yep.
And there's a real beauty to it being Tatooine. Even though I pronounced it Tatooine before, keeping you on your toes, everybody, a wild boy over here.
Yeah, but now, what is the difference between Tatooine and Tatooine?
It's like Duntooine.
Yeah, it's like Duntooine. Tatooine is like if you like cut up Tatooine and like mushed it into little nuggets and then fried it. That's a Tatooine. But I hate myself most days.
Oh,
but
boy.
Here we go. Anyway, if it's Tatooine, Tatooine. Then, you know, obviously it's a bookend of the entire saga, and that's a beautiful thing as well. So, you know, it's a win-win in terms of the desert planet. Also, we don't know if this is from the end of the film. It could be from the beginning, which would be a bookend to Return of the Jedi, which returns to Tatooine at the beginning. So maybe we open on Jakku, and, you know, there's a hut involved. Who knows?
Once again, J.J. Abrams is going to just remake another Star Wars film. So maybe that's how it works. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Rey has gone back to Jakku because she still can't accept what she knows. I mean, I'm not saying that the film is going to explore who her parents are, but it could just be looking for some sort of sense of self still in the desert of Jakku. Mm-hmm. That could be why they go back.
I think I'm leaning towards Jakku. Obviously we're all guessing, we're all speculating here, but I really think, you know, as far as the symmetry goes, as far as the sort of, you know, cyclical, you know, poetry of it or whatever, I think they're going to stick with, you know, this being a conclusion for this trilogy. It's, you know, it's obviously doing a heavy lift with the Skywalker saga, you know, and everything, but I don't know. My sense is that this is Rey's story, you know, and they're gonna take her back to Jakku at some point, you know. And I have also a little bit of a feeling that this maybe probably is something from the end of the film, only because, you know, obviously they don't shoot films entirely in order, but like, you know, you've got to think that they want whatever emotional climactic resolution, you know, you want to with your three leads, you know, you probably want to shoot that late so that people, you know, because it's the filmmaking process itself, you know, mirrors the, you know, in a lot of ways, the arc of a story. You know, there's the hard work and then there's the sort of emotional payoff of the resolution when that work is done. And so, you know, it feels to me like, you know, whoever's scheduling this is going to want to put something, you know, late in the film or the end of the film, late in the shoot, you know, to give the actors the tools they need, you know, for the for the best possible scene. And
also,
yeah,
these things are like PR'd within an inch of their life. And
I was
it's like
just
a great
say, yeah.
story for them to be like, the last shot of the movie is actually the last shot we shot, and it was a beautiful day, you know, like that
right.
kind of thing.
Absolutely.
They love telling stories like that. Even, I mean, they could lie, I guess, but like, yeah, I do feel like they do kind of do that for PR, at least, you know, to be able to say like, oh, like the final thing is the final thing we did, and you know,
absolutely.
I was going to argue that they had to go through so many levels of approvals for this image to go out that it probably was shot 6 months before they actually ended on wrapping the film because everybody had to see it before they could release this individual still image.
Let me talk about, though, you know, in terms of approvals, man, John Boyega, give your PR team a tip because this is a hero shot for you, my man.
It's great.
Like, he looks amazing. He looks hopeful. He's looking... I don't know. Well, that's, you know, that he's looking into the distance. He's looking into the future, the past, my soul, all of it. He's seeing it. I feel, you know, I feel seen. I feel like Star Wars feels seen. I feel like fans feel seen.
Did
it
you guys
great.
Watch his Insta stories from the rap party?
Of course.
I did, yeah.
Of course.
My dude
Absolutely.
Knows how to party.
He lives it up. He knows what's he knows
He's
what's
having
good.
The time of his life. It's thrilling to watch. He really is like the most charismatic person on the planet.
He's great.
He got very emotional about leaving Jonas Wetomo. You know, there was a nice moment on it. Was it his Insta story or was it Jonas's Insta story?
I saw Jonas's where they were. Yeah, where he was, you know, singing his praises. Now I do want to I think we've kind of come to the point where we do need to address the elephant in the room, and I know what listeners, I know what you're all thinking. There's nary a jacket in sight. And yeah, I'm a little bummed.
Hang on.
I'm a little disappointed.
Finn's wearing a jacket.
No, he's wearing a vest. And don't you make that mistake again on this podcast.
Uh-oh. Someone's on the chopping block.
Oh, boy.
Yikes. This is the first
you're
time
lucky
I think
you
Mike's...
You're lucky you own a lot of the microphones, Mike.
Mike, you're getting a taste of your own medicine here, man. You're towing that line. I'm going to need you to take a few steps back, all right? Vests and jackets, not the same. But I will address just quickly. We've got some styling updates that I'm very excited about. People have been asking. People have been tweeting. People have been emailing. People who I haven't met or actually seen evidence exist are wondering what I think about how these folks look. And it's like, I love that just the subtle, you know, changes they've made to like the styling. And it was the same thing we saw going into The Last Jedi, where it just ages your characters up just a bit. They've developed, they've matured just a little bit, you know. Finn's hair is a little longer, you know, and he has a new style to it. Poe's hair looks a little longer. I'm digging, like, Poe's got this scarf. It's kind of like an Uncharted Indiana Jones look. Give me that. Yeah, he better be like, I don't know, exploring and adventuring somewhere. I guess you know, Daisy looks like she's almost maybe she's returned a bit to Rey's earlier stylings, or maybe it's similar to The Last Jedi, but the other two certainly that we see a little more of them, because obviously Rey's facing away. But it's just that those subtle changes to like mature them, age them up a bit, make them grow. It's like, it just has me excited, because once again we're in this phase where it's like, there's all the possibility. This is the best time to be like film fans and Star Wars fans and looking and just like, you know, the whole world is open. So
I'm surprised you didn't mention her arm patch, Sam. I know it's not a jacket of any kind, but there is an interesting leather armband that she's wearing over where she was scarred in The Last Jedi by one of the Praetorian Guard's blades.
Sam, well, he's calling arm patches jackets. I can't believe this. Well, I can't apologize enough for him. I'm so sorry, Sam.
You know, guys, I still haven't seen that scene a second time. We only got halfway through our rewatch. But it's on my... I recently downloaded it because I was on a flight recently. So I have it. I now have The Last Jedi on my iPad, ready to be watched at any moment. At any moment.
That's the way Ryan Johnson intended it, on an iPad.
Oh, sick burn.
Oh, sick.
Wow, yeah, Sam.
Ouch. I don't know.
Good luck showing your face around here again.
I don't know. I don't know how I'll ever speak to Ryan Johnson on this podcast again.
You know, he's a very open and friendly person. I wouldn't be surprised if one day he is on this podcast.
Hey.
It's on my dream board, too.
Open invitation. Good. Open invitation.
Yeah, Ryan Johnson, listen. Barring any scheduling conflict, you could be on whenever you want.
Listen if you want, though, man. I don't know if that was aggressive or not.
Speaking of Ryan Johnson, though, one thing to note, this is the second photo from the production of Episode 9 that was posted by J.J. Abrams on Twitter and on Instagram. Ryan Johnson posted dozens of photos. They were mostly obscured. You couldn't tell what you were seeing, except for maybe one of the actors or one of the droids. I really appreciated that kind of production log from Ryan Johnson. I wish we would have seen more from J.J., but maybe, you know, he didn't have the leeway from Disney to do that or wasn't as interested as Ryan Johnson was.
I think it's Ryan Johnson is a little more like he likes like photography and
he
stuff.
Does.
So
he does.
Yeah.
He's always got his camera with him.
And I think you can tell that looking at their films. just looking
at the
screen.
Well, J.J. Abrams always has his Steven Spielberg camera with him. And Ryan Johnson has his regular camera with him.
But I loved that too, Mike, and I am still waiting, and I do think it's coming. I think they will release at some point some kind of coffee table book of, you know, Ryan Johnson's photographs.
Oh, did they not? You had me believing they were doing that. I think you had mentioned it on the podcast before, so I thought it just already existed.
Did I will that into existence? Could somebody? We should check. I've never looked.
I mean, that's willing it into existence is one way to call lying.
It's also one way to call I feel like it's for any marketer or product marketer. It's like low hanging fruit. It's like, hey, what could we sell? Oh, the guy who took 1,000 pictures behind the scenes of the biggest movie.
Here it is. Book of Ryan Johnson, Star Wars The Last Jedi, behind the scenes photos will be released. This is from Slash Film, December 15th, 2017.
Wait, 2017?
Well, that was the announcement of that it would happen. So
maybe they have like one of those old Canon printers and it's taken a long time to get through all the photos.
I'm going to apologize to everybody. You may hear typing, or I'm going to apologize to Ryan, who's going to edit it out. I don't know which, but I'm going to look to see if this is
available.
Oh,
it's fine. I've been playing Fortnite this whole time.
No, I. So it was announced. Has it ever been actually released? I don't know.
Sam's currently willing it into existence.
I'm thinking about it so hard.
Sam, we're trying not to get the explicit rating. Thank you.
That's on you, my man. I did a quick Amazon search. I don't see it. They've got some like photos or posters that have been autographed by him, but I don't think that if that book is still coming, and God, I hope it is, it's not out yet.
I believe if we tweet at him with this article, he'll respond and let us know what's going on and then kindly join the podcast. To get back to the image, though, anybody else noticing Constable Zuvio in the background of this image? I think he's finally getting his debut in a Star Wars film.
Let's hope so.
What a tragedy. Like a true and like honest to God tragedy that Chris is not here right now. I think every time I've ever spoken to Chris about episodes 7 or 8 or 9, that's who he cares about. This is the Zuvio.
Every
Chronicles.
Time I talk to Chris about anything, I told Chris that I was thinking about proposing to my now wife, and he said, "Is it a Constable Zuvio night?"
Ryan, didn't you get married in like 2014?
Wow, yeah. I did, Mike.
Well,
first off, thank you for remembering when I got married. That's very kind. That's good friendship. Also, wow, really poked holes in my story.
Can we though talk about?
Hey, I like to kind of have a double-edged sword on you.
That was a real double-edged sword. Thanks for remembering so that you could embarrass me publicly.
Who's the liar now? Just as we're talking about dates, I am thinking like one of the things, Mike, you mentioned that it was like this photo was for you emotional as just a fan. And I think like I realized that like Lucas and Lucasfilm like sold the rights to Disney in 2012. So like this whole iteration of like the Star Wars journey and fandom and probably a big part of the reason why we're doing a podcast right now and why our friendship is where it is like all dating back to like this move that happened in 2012 that we've all been excited by and looking forward to. And it does feel like this film in particular is a capstone. You know, it for a while it looked like they were going to try and do, you know, an annual film and do one thing at a time, and then they hit a speed bump with the I guess financial performance primarily of Solo, because we all liked it, we all thought it was pretty good, and fans seemed to embrace the movie. And but it was like they hit this speed bump, and so in a way it does feel like to crib a term from Disney's other property Marvel, it does feel like phase one is like coming to an end. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the Avengers moment where we're all like Avengers One, Avengers Assemble in the UK, like moment of like, okay, holy crap, they did it. What's next? And it'll be interesting to see, you know, we've got Disney Plus coming. We've got a lot of exciting stuff, but like that for me was a big part of that moment was like, wow, it's been since 2012 that I've been wondering what this trilogy would be. And we are now in the, you know, final 100 meters of what that's going to be.
I thought, Sam, you were going to say we were in the final end game. Ooh, wait, wrong.
I feel like Lucy just pulled the football right out from in front of me.
I'd like to go back and thank Bob Iger for not only allowing me to have my friendships here with Ryan and Sam that are really only going to last until the end of this podcast, being the way I've been acting, but also to know that my friend Ryan got married in 2014. I wouldn't have known that if not for Bob Iger.
Thanks, Bob. And as always, you're more than welcome on the show whenever you want.
Bobby.
You were talking about emotions, Sam. Oscar Isaac is feeling his emotions in this photo. I mean, I don't think he's acting. I think he is genuinely emotional about the end of filming this series.
Heart on his rolled up sleeve. And to think, you know, there was a time when he signed on for this project that he wasn't even going to be here, you know? And the friendships he's gotten to make and the, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's like the career, you know, bump that they're all getting from this, but it's like, yeah, what a, you know, just a trilogy. Just imagine making a trilogy of movies. Like the three of us, like four of us with Chris, talked about like, what would it be like to just like make a movie, you know? it's gotta be emotional. He looks like he's really feeling it, and I appreciate that.
He's a genuine guy. He always comes off that way. And maybe it's just because he's a great actor and I believe everything he does.
Yeah, that's enough.
All right. I think that's good enough to move on to our next topic, which has been a rumor. We've known a lot about this or talked a lot about this over the stretch of this now multi-year podcast. We're closing in on a two-year anniversary of this podcast coming up in March.
Ooh, birthday boys. We're making our birthday list. Everybody get us presents. I want some presents. I want cake.
I know what present I want. I want an official announcement that Obi-Wan is being in a new series on Disney Plus or a film, which we thought we were getting originally. But the rumor is Ewan McGregor will be back as Obi-Wan in a mini-series, 8-episode, we don't know for sure, series on Disney Plus, the new streaming service that comes out at the end of this year. Likely that series would not happen until maybe 2020 because The Mandalorian premieres this fall, maybe winter, and then it's the Cassian Andor series, and then potentially an Obi-Wan series. So I think because we have a member of this podcast who's maybe more excited about the idea of a future Obi-Wan film or a series than any of us, we have to let him get his word in even though he is not on the podcast. We have a special dispatch from Chris. Let's take a listen.
Well, hello there, little one. Come on now, don't be afraid. It's just me, Chris. Hey, guys, sorry I couldn't be there tonight. But so excited about the news of a possible Obi-Wan series. Wanted to share some thoughts with you. Had a lot of time. I just spent a long time on an airplane and had a lot of time to think about this. I think this might be the way to go. Maybe the Star Wars story movies were not the way. Think of the success we had from Rebels, Clone Wars, and the now Resistance. I think maybe teasing out a series with some of these characters might allow a lot of different people to get a lot of different takes, and
the small doses. It's not one big buildup to a movie. If they can get Ewan McGregor back, this would line up perfectly with Alec Guinness's timeline in the desert. Let's get a few stories with Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru and really see, get into how they get that blue milk. Hopefully it's kind of like we found out in The Last Jedi. Okay, well, so this could be perfect. This is what I've always dreamed about. Just had to share that. Love me, hate me, just don't debate me. LOL, lots of love. Wish I was there. Chris.
Annie?
Gotta go, the jizz band's calling me. Later.
A hot and fresh from a guy who wasn't even on the pod.
I feel so bad for whoever Chris's seatmate was on the plane while he recorded that and edited it. Oh, man.
I'd like to have a peek behind the curtain for all of our listeners. Chris made sure to add in our rundown for this week that Chris's audio clip was, quote, extremely funny. And he was accurate. He was accurate.
Got a laugh out of me. I think the key to this, we've kind of, Chris hit on it, I'll jump in and say, like, the key to this is Ewan McGregor, for me. I would love any content they're going to give me, any series they want to write, I'm going to watch, I'm going to be there, you know, day one, I'm a subscriber, they don't need to sell me on it at this point, but for an Obi-Wan series specifically, when you have an actor of the caliber of Ewan McGregor, who is working and still seems eager to do it, and who, you know, fans like he is absolutely untouchable in the debate over the prequels. Nobody disagrees about Obi-Wan from the prequels, whatever they think of the movies, yeah. Good, bad,
people
or otherwise.
Who hate them viciously admit that, like, he's very good in them.
He's great, and so I think he's the key to it all. I said to you guys when we texted about this news right when it broke, I have a mixed reaction, and the first part is like extreme excitement. Like, this is absolutely what I want. This is what, you know, Chris has always joked about an Obi-Wan trilogy. And it's like he was the character that became, for at least as long as there were six films out, like, he was the character that, like, carried through for me more than anyone else, more than Anakin, honestly, more than Anakin Darth Vader's story. I was like into Obi-Wan's story, and I wanted more of it. I wanted a completion of it. I wanted, you know, his anything we could get. So I'm really excited in that regard. I can't help but a little bit, you know, mourn the quote unquote lost film. I don't know if that film was ever going to come to pass. We speculated a lot about whether or not it would happen, but, you know, if there was any world in which it was going to, it seems a little less likely now. I mean, I guess we could, you know, we could always talk about the world in which they do a mini series, they turn it into a few seasons of a show, and they cap that show with a movie, which would, I mean, there's a dream, but I think we're several years,
like,
from that
decision.
But also,
never really successfully been done.
Right, right. I mean, you know, we'll see with Deadwood. Or is that a new series, or is that a movie?
No, it's a movie.
Yeah, so we'll see. You know, we'll see if Milchie can do it.
I mean, of course, we're all chasing the Entourage dragon. You know what I mean? 8 seasons and then a movie.
What do you guys think? I feel like I jumped in.
I feel similar to you. Obviously, with the changing TV landscape, TV can be just as high production value as movies, although it's a very vastly, no matter what people like to say, it's a vastly different experience. It just is. You know, so in terms of, like, quality, production quality, it can be equal, you know, even though you're spreading that money around. So, like, you know, it's likely not to be equal to a movie, but in terms of experience, I think it's very different. In terms of structure, it's very different. I would have liked to have seen an Obi-Wan movie. I mean, an Obi-Wan trilogy would have been amazing as well if they had the story for it. So a series is great. I want to see any kind of Obi-Wan in that time period, and Ewan McGregor is so great in the role. But I had a similar reaction as you did, which is like, oh, that's a bummer. I really would have liked to see that movie. But we are kind of, unfortunately, seeing the fallout of what Solo did as a quote-unquote financial disappointment, or whatever it was, is that a lot of these things, you know, it's safer for them to do a series because the Disney Plus ROI is a little higher than a movie could be, because, you know, you're banking on a movie doing well, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, with like the Disney Plus thing, the more series you add, the more subscription you have, it's less in, you know, it's less clear cut to stakeholders. You can get away with a little more. I think they're kind of playing it safer.
Yeah, your subscribers only go up by announcing something like this. You know what I mean? Like that, you know, there's the people who are going to subscribe no matter what, just because it's Disney, and then there's the people who are going to subscribe no matter what because it's going to have Star Wars. But like ultimately, they're building, you know, they're literally building the Disney Vault. We're watching them build it. Yeah. Finally, after years of promising / threatening it during our youths, they're actually building it in the form of Disney Plus, and we're all going to pay for access to that vault. So,
at least that vault is always open as long as you have $9.99 a month or whatever it is.
Right, exactly. So I just thought, though, Ryan, something you said that was interesting in terms of like the production values of TV and like the storytelling that's happening now, and I totally agree. It is on, in a lot of ways, it's like on movie level. Like there's not so much a quality, there's not as big of a quality gap or quality differential as
there
used to be.
One, though. People like to pretend that there's not, but there is.
There absolutely, no, I agree. There absolutely is. And I would say there's been an interesting thing that has happened in this era of prestige television, golden era television, whatever you want to call it. I used to, you know, I've been a lifelong TV and movie fan, just like you guys. And like, I used to go to TV when it was like, I wasn't in the space to like sit down and really watch a movie. I didn't have the attention span for a full, you know, 2-hour commitment to a single story. So I'd tune into a 30-minute show or an hour long show, something episodic. With everything being serialized now, I think I watch more movies now than TV, because TV is such a huge commitment. And it's like, weirdly, like the pendulum has swung. Like the commitment used to be bigger for seeing a movie, and now I'm like, the commitment is much bigger to watch to start a new TV show than it is to go and, you know, pay $20 and sit for 2 hours plus travel time. So, you know, 3 hours or whatever of your day to a movie is like, is peanuts compared to a TV show.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Sam. I don't have anything else but to echo what you both said about Obi-Wan being a series. I would have loved to have seen that film. I mourn the fact that that film may not exist. I just want to see Ewan back in the role. I'll be happy with any more. I don't have anything new to add there. I'm just excited about this Disney Plus, and it seems like we've been talking about it for so long now, even though it only has been, what, 4 or 5 months that we have known that officially The Mandalorian was happening. Maybe it's only been 3 months. But yet, it seems so far off still. I want the back half of 2019 to already be here so that Galaxy's Edge is open and we can all go experience it. So episode 9 is only a few weeks away, and The Mandalorian is premiering, and we know what Disney Plus is, and we know all the series that we're going to be able to watch on that, whether it is a Star Wars series or a Marvel series. Like, I do want to see the Loki series that's going to be on Disney Plus as well. I'm very excited, and I will be paying lots of money for this service. I just want it to be available. Stop wasting time. Take my money.
I think the Loki series, which I had forgot about for a while until you just brought it up, like, that's an excellent comparison, because I do think, like, Tom Hiddleston is an actor who's, you know, whose star has risen considerably through the you know, Disney, Marvel, you know, Avengers movies and stuff. That, like, you know, it does make me think. Part of me was thinking that maybe some of the hold up on an Obi-Wan announcement was negotiating. You know, was Ewan McGregor is, you know, he's an A-lister, and he can basically name his price to do it, and obviously they have the coffers to pay him whatever they deem it's worth. But part of me was wondering, like, oh, are they not meeting? Are they not seeing eye to eye yet on money? And that, you know, I don't know. It's like, well, they're clearly, you know, they've got Tom Hiddleston, they've got Elizabeth Olsen is doing, right? It's Scarlet Witch.
Oh yeah, Scarlet Witch.
So Elizabeth Olsen is doing one, and then the actors who they've already contracted for the Mandalorian and obviously Diego Luna's series like coming up. It's like they're not skimping on Hollywood movie A-list actors. So
it's exciting. I mean, Werner Herzog commands a very high price for any appearance.
He's perfect for Star Wars. Ugh, can we go back to that? Let's do another whole episode on him in Star Wars.
All right, other news that we have. We want to wish a little bit of a happy birthday out there to Anthony Daniels, our resident C-3PO on the pod and in the galaxy. We all know and love him, though we are a little disappointed by his misdirection on whether or not there would be footage from Episode 9. That still gets under my skin a bit.
My dude's Twitter has been wild lately.
It had. What was the most recent thing he had? He also seemed like he was teasing something.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Well,
he is not going quietly into that dark night. I will say that. But let's just. I'm gonna jump in and, you know, I'm gonna say that unequivocally. Look, none of that matters. Happy birthday, my man. You've brought us all a ton of joy. You've defined a character that. You know, has lasted since 1977 and is going to last for, you know, hundreds of more years in pop culture. So, like, I guess, you know, you've earned it. You can be a little crazy on Twitter if you want. I don't know what you're talking about, but happy birthday. Many happy
birthday
returns.
And as always, anytime you want to be on the pod, you're welcome.
If you're, I imagine Anthony out with his dear friends, his family. I imagine him celebrating. I imagine, you know, someone popping a cork of champagne and in a perfect 3PO voice, you know, oh dear, terrified that someone's taking a shot at him, instantly nervous and anxious around loud noises or bright flashing lights.
I have heard that he's a high target.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, happy birthday. From the droid head. From the name. You're the namesake of the pod. You know, happy birthday.
It's true. Just mentioning his last tweet was, for the weak-minded BO plus OK equals question mark, question mark, question mark, clue, fill in the appropriate four-letter word. I'm not quite sure.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Makes perfect sense. If you guys can't figure it out, I'm not going to tell you.
It's book.
He got a book deal. He wants us all to know.
All right, let's move on to...
Maybe he's doing like a... maybe he's... Oh, sorry. I stepped on your transition. But it wouldn't be the droid's bot.
It wouldn't be the
droid's
bot either.
Needed one.
But I was like wondering if maybe he's doing an audiobook. Maybe that's what he's announcing. He's like reading the audiobook for Episode 9.
He wrote C-3PO's autobiography in character, and then he's going to read it in character.
It's just a bunch of ones and zeros, am I right?
Let's be honest, though. There's a lot of individual novels about characters in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be surprised if there's a C-3PO novel on the horizon.
It'd be cool if it was like an epistolary novel that was written in the first person.
The binary language of those loaders is very similar to your moisture evaporators.
Sam, I don't know why you're so down on your impressions.
Yeah, especially since you seem so desperate to do them.
Just love me. Just love me, please. Love my voices.
My most anticipated segment of the episode a long, long time ago till now has brought us to Ryan. And Ryan, the reason I'm most excited about this is that I know that you've got something to say about The Force Awakens being on ABC, on network television, premiering in 2019, February, following a December 2015 release. It finally made its way to network television.
That's
of
right.
The place that is owned by
it
the
has been edited
company.
For content and formatted to fit your screen. So yes, this will be a future long, long time ago till now. People will remember that in February 2019, in 50 years when we're talking about this, I will bring up that in February 2019, ABC aired The Force Awakens for the first time on network television. Now, this is an interesting thing.
It's a good question. It's a good question for our future trivia night.
It's true. We recently got live TV in my house, and at the same time on ABC that ABC was showing The Force Awakens, NBC was showing How to Train Your Dragon. So we were flipping back and forth between commercials, a thing that since we haven't had live TV, we haven't been able to do in years. It was very exciting to be able to do that between two movies that we own. Anyway, there is something very exciting about seeing a movie like this on television. And the reason is this. Of course, all talk of cutting the cable and people aren't watching network television as much, there's still an audience of millions and millions of people. So, and it is accessible to people in their homes, you know, especially network television, where it's not like a premium price to get it and things like that. It's accessible to people in their homes, people that maybe can't make it to the movies, or people who just don't go to the movies.
Or
so
can't get off their couch to grab the remote.
So it was exciting to watch because I knew that at least thousands of people were experiencing this movie for the first time, possibly experiencing Star Wars for the first time. And every time something happened that was exciting in the movie, I kept thinking to myself, a Star Wars fan just was created. And there was something kind of special about that. You know, ABC made a big deal about this. They were posting it on Twitter and advertising it. And, you know, obviously ABC is owned by Disney, so it's their property. But it was cool because I just kept thinking, you know, like when Kylo Ren stops the laser blast about a kid being like, oh, like, how did he do that? What's a thing? And you know, like, possibly experiences we've had, someone saying, oh, it's the Force, and then they explain it. This was a first step into a larger world for a lot of people, and I thought that was a cool thing to see in real time, you know, knowing that was happening all over the place. And, I, you know, this may be romanticized a little bit, but there were at least thousands of people who were experiencing it for the first time, and I think that was a cool thing to have happened last Sunday.
Ryan, I like the romanticizing of that. I very much appreciate the vision and the storytelling that you gave there, because I love the idea of thinking of someone being introduced to something that not only do we love, that can amplify their own experience because of the story that is told. I love that.
I would say also a big part of having lived with Chris for the 6 years that I did was event television, which was a thing that I didn't grow up like really participating in or doing. Like my parents, while they were like, we were a TV family, we did tend to like retire to the den after dinner and, you know, like watch TV together. We never went in for like, you know, the big watch it live, like first time airing stuff. And I gather from living with Chris that like his family did, and he grew up in that environment. So it was always a big deal whenever they like when they started a few years back. It was first NBC, and then now it's NBC and Fox doing these live musicals. We would always watch those, or when they would air holiday movies, you know, around certain times a year, you know, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, whatever. Like we would watch the network airings of those. And I have to say, like, I developed such a fondness and love for it, and I owe it 100% to Chris. So, Chris, you're not here, but thanks for that. It was something I actually, like, really, really treasure about living with you, that I do, like, enjoy that to this day. I did not actually know in advance about this, so I didn't watch the Force Awakens, but you guys thought we've been recording now for like 45 minutes and you thought you were going to get through it, but I'm going to bring up the James Bond franchise for like the marathons
almost
they always used to do
out there.
Yeah. Well, guys, you know, we didn't have any jackets, so I had to find a way to bring it back to something I'm an expert on. And you know, I had the exact sort of experience you describe, Ryan, where it's like when I'll go home and I'll watch. I mean, it's bounced around on networks. It was like TBS, and then it was on Spike, and AMC used to do them for a while. But like the James Bond marathons that they would play around Thanksgiving, and it was in a large way, it was my entry point for a lot of James Bond movies. Like I'd only seen a couple at the time when I started discovering those like Bondathon marathons, and I know it's been an entry point for so many people that I do. It's, you know, it doesn't even have to be one of the movies I want to watch that day. But if it's on TV and if it's part of that marathon, I will watch it. I will watch it from start to finish. I will watch through the commercials and I'll be excited that, you know, somewhere there's, you know, there's a new fan, you know, being born into that other franchise that I love, you know. So I think it's really cool. I'm an event TV fan.
Mm-hmm. I love event television. I miss event television. I mean, I think I've probably haven't partaken in what has been the new kind of event television. You were talking about live musicals. I haven't really got into watching those. I do like when I see something that's still on TV, even though I don't have access because I am a cord cutter. When I go somewhere else and I see I was actually at my parents' home where The Force Awakens was available to watch on ABC, I turned it on for a brief moment and my wife said, no, we're watching something we haven't seen before. Please turn that off. I'm like, no, but we have to get through the scene because you got to see Poe and the laser blast and the Frozen. I want to see that. No, we can't do it. So we had to move on. But live event television to me was a big, I loved getting together as a family like you were talking about, Sam, watching these moments. To me, the one that really stands out is Band of Brothers. And I think the 10 weeks of that series being on HBO, that to me was like a huge moment just culturally that I felt like I was participating in by watching Band of Brothers. And then also one of the all-time classics, I think all of us remember it, we put it on high, Tower of Terror on ABC Family with Steve Guttenberg and Kirsten Dunst, one of the great event television moments. Was it ABC Family or was it ABC? Either way, I watched those promos leading up to it, couldn't wait, yeah. And then tuned in for Tower of Terror.
Well, they used to do on Sunday nights, I think it was called The Wonderful World of Disney on ABC, and every at 7 o'clock, they'd have like an introduction by Michael Eisner, and they would have a like made-for-TV movie, and I loved that. You know, it was like for the time, it was like appointment television. Like, this is what will be on. And they made like, you know, like how like Stan Lee used to do those like introductions to the cartoons on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings. You know, and this was a tiny little taste of that. And again, because it was Star Wars and something I love so much, it was cool to see. So, you know, I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Why don't they go back to that? Oh, sorry, Sam. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to be clear. You know, Chris's definition of event television includes, like, America's Funniest Home Videos.
So, which like, was on right before The Force Awakens.
So it's like...
That's
you
what
know.
The lead-in was.
So that used to be my... That used to be... I used to catch the tail end. I used to see who won AFV right before going into Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Oh, not really
Dean
a Superman
Kane.
Show.
Dean Cain.
I wish they would bring back introductions to things. You know,
yeah,
especially right
cool.
now as they're building Star Wars Land. How
yeah,
great would it
JJ
be?
One.
Yeah, JJ or Kathleen Kennedy to be talking about updates the way Walt talked about building Disney World. They should be doing that. That's what I
Bob
want.
Bob Iger. Hey man, get Bob Iger on Disney Plus. They can do it with Disney Plus.
They can.
The park will be open by then.
The dreams.
Be too late.
The dreams I have.
All right, well, I think we're getting close to the end of the pod here. Anybody with some final notes here before we wrap this up?
Well, we're executing episode 66.
I did want to say.
Episode 66.
We're at, if you all will take a moment, I think we should just, maybe what's most appropriate is before we sort of sign off, we'll just give a brief, moment of silence for all our fallen Jedi. This is our 66th episode, and obviously 66 is a very significant number to all of us in Star Wars fandom. So if we can just take a moment and think, you know, think out and remember our fallen heroes. Over to you, Mike.
I was thinking about the younglings, gotta be honest. Those poor younglings.
What are we going to do?
What a choice, man.
Commander
the guy
Scott.
That you claim, the guy that you claim is your real, you know, the story, the protagonist, the story arc hinges on his redemption. Yeah, kill a bunch of kids. I'm still
yeah,
not over
redemption's
it.
Redemption's gotta be earned, baby.
The women and children.
Well, Mike, that was dark.
Well, wasn't it? That was the line from Attack of the Clones, wasn't it?
I slaughtered them. No, I slaughtered them like animals.
Well,
we executed episode 66.
Yes, we truly executed it at the end. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Droids Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's the Droids Podcast. DroidsPod@gmail.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. Send us your emails, your audio clips, your voice memos. DroidsPod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. That will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
Repack what they grow beyond.
Anna?
Hey, yo, Chewbacca.
Killing younglings.
You boys want to go to medieval times?
All right. C-3PO, human-cyborg relations.